Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake Gutierrez said that we were not allowed to talk about last night's game between Kansas and Washington.
Nope. All Marcus Peters talk all morning long.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we brought it up with Gary Barnett.
Right. That's right. But then I told him that we should book a good friend of his, C.J. Moore, and so you caved.
I did.
You caved in.
I did.
C.J. Moore, you could follow him on Twitter. C.J. Moore Hoops is his handle. What's up, C.J.? How are you?
Doing well. What's going on, guys?
You know, there was a few big stories yesterday, and Nate and Jake, neither one could give me a straight answer when I said, what was more shocking?
I gave you a straight answer.
Yeah, then you backed off.
No, I didn't.
Marcus Peters being suspended for a game or Kansas losing to Washington. What were they, 22-point favorites? Was that right?
Yep, 22.
What about you? What story was more shocking to you?
Probably Kansas losing to Washington.
You went against Jake.
With Nate. He went against me.
Oh boy,
smart man.
You're done.
Now you've angered the producer.
Break.
CJ. I don't know what.
Now
to do.
I'm not going to get on the show.
I don't know what.
Break.
I don't know what to do now. Okay,
cut your mic off like he does me.
So we played a couple of clips from Bill Self after the game that were interesting. He talked about Gerald Vick. You know, scoring a lot of points, but they weren't real points because they were daring him to take shots. So let's start there. What Washington did defensively and how Kansas handled it, or I guess didn't handle it, and you end up seeing something that we didn't think we'd see with Devontae Graham only scoring 3 points after back-to-back 35-point efforts. What went wrong offensively for Kansas last night?
I think Mike Hopkins did a really good job of studying the tape, and he had great tape of the Syracuse game, which, you know, that's where he's come from. These were the two most zone-heavy teams in the country. And so he had a great chance to study that. And what Syracuse did was, you know, when Kansas got the ball in the middle of the zone, they kind of collapsed the defense and ended up leaving Devontae Graham open at the top of the key over and over and over again. And last night, Washington just basically said, okay, Gerald Vick, you try to beat us, and we're going to stay tight on all your three-point shooters. And I think when you're a guy like Vick, who, you know, while he scores a lot of points, he's not used to taking that many shots and kind of getting the ball in that area of the floor over and over again, I think it kind of got uncomfortable for him. And that's why, you know, even though he had 28, it was like you said, it was kind of a fake 28. So I think it was a smart game plan. It was an interesting gamble, and it worked out for Washington.
I made the comment earlier, and look, I'll reiterate it every single time. Far be it from me to ever, you know, criticize or question the coaching strategy of Bill Self, because guys, yeah. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. He knows far more about basketball than I ever will. Just watching the game, I wondered, why not throw somebody else in the middle of that zone for some stretches to just take some of the burden off of Gerald Vick? Because it was all on him, and it seemed like that responsibility was getting to him from time to time. He'd go through stretches where he'd score a bunch, but then other stretches, it almost seemed like in his mind he was thinking, I can't be taking every shot. This isn't right. I wonder if they would approach it differently if they had to do it over again, just in terms of putting it all on one guy like that.
Yeah, he did throw Marcus Garrett in there a little bit. I would have liked to maybe seen him some more in that spot. I think he's a natural fit because, you know, he's a point guard. So choosing whether to score or distribute is kind of a more natural thing for him, where Vick's just more of a scorer. And, you know, I thought the game changed in late in the first half when Self went to Clay Young. And basically they were just KU was exposed on the defensive end because you got a 6'3 center. And then on the offensive end, it took away of an option, because when you got it into Vick, he can't throw the lob anymore because Kay Young's not going to go up and get it. And I thought, you know, against a team that probably doesn't think they can come in and beat Kansas, that gave them confidence. And you can't give a team like that confidence. And I really thought the game swung there, where if you know, Udoka Azubuike ends up with three fouls for the game, and Lightfoot ends up with two and barely plays in the second half. I thought that if you're going to criticize Self, I think maybe that's the biggest mistake he probably made in that game, just because it gave Washington confidence. And I think if he stays with either Azubuike or Lightfoot, I think he goes into halftime ahead, and it's maybe a different game in the second half.
Look, we've seen games like this before for Kansas, even at Sprint Center. You know, in these December games where they maybe will lose to an inferior opponent, and then you look back on it and it was a bump in the road, and
exactly, it
was a footnote. Is that what you expect this one to be like usual?
A little bit. I think that, you know, you almost throw it out a little bit because not many teams are going to play zone. Like, the only team in the Big 12 that's going to play a lot of zone is Baylor. And their zone's different, and Baylor's not that good this year. So I don't know if you worry too much about the zone. I do think teams will try to really press up against the three-point line against Kansas and make their guys beat them in other ways. And the biggest concern I've had for this team this year is guys' inability to just blow by people off the dribble. You know, Malik Newman has looked slower than I think people probably expected, and he can't really beat people off the bounce. Vic's the one guy that can. Graham can at times, but, you know, it's not like Frank Mason, and KU's not getting at the free throw line. So in games when they don't shoot the ball well from the perimeter, it's a little worrisome for this offense because they haven't looked great against Power 5 teams with, you know, size and athleticism. So I think maybe that's one area that you're a little concerned. Well, you know, what's this team going to look like when the three ball's not falling?
I think what everybody wants to know, that at least a KU fan, is what's this team going to look like after the semester? I mean, are they going to get Billy Preston back at some point? Yeah. Are they going to get D'Souza? They know they're going to get Cunliffe, but what's he going to play like? What kind of a play? Mm-hmm. What kind of an addition will he be? I mean, I can't think of a team that could possibly change more. If all three of those guys came, and we don't know, maybe it'll just be one, but if all three came, I can't think of a team that could change more at semester than what this Kansas team could. Can you?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. And you don't know if they're going to get all of them or they're just going to get, you know, one. So that's what makes it really, really strange. But I think for this team to have a chance to go, like, deep in the postseason, I think you have to have that one more body. Because you look at last night when they're playing Clay Young, instead of Clay Young, that would have been Billy Preston or that would have been D'Souza. So I really, really think they need one of those to come through. And, at this point, I get the impression maybe they feel like next week something will happen with Preston. And, you know, it's still kind of up in the air what happens with Silvio D'Souza. So, but it's one of the most bizarre kind of storylines around a team I've ever witnessed.
And so now for Kansas, after this unexpected loss to Washington, they have to face, even though it's at Allen Fieldhouse, a pretty damn good Arizona State team. So they have to bounce back and play a squad that's ranked number 16 in the nation right now. What about Arizona State? What problems could they pose for Kansas?
Well, similar to Washington, who was really, really good at getting to the foul line, Arizona State's the best in the country at drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line. So, you know, KU with their depth, that could be a little bit of a concern. And this is a team that likes to play up tempo and can really, really score the ball. They've been the most efficient offense in college basketball this year. So, you know, you're going to have to guard a little bit better. But it will be more, I think, of an up tempo kind of wide open game where Kansas tends to play a lot better in those situations. Plus, you know, it's at Allen Fieldhouse, so you probably feel better about the game stylistically. But you know, Arizona State could give them some problems if they're able to get, you know, the big guys in trouble, foul trouble again.
All right, let's talk about Kansas State a little bit. So far, they just have one loss on the season, and it was a close loss to that Arizona State team that you just mentioned. Their final three non-con games, Tulsa, SEMO, and then at Washington State. How much can we learn about Kansas State before league play starts?
Not a ton. I mean, Tulsa's not terrible, and Washington State was looking pretty good about it until about a week ago, and they've lost to UC Davis and Idaho after starting 6-0, and one of those wins over St. Mary's, who, you know, everybody had in the top 25 in the preseason. So it's kind of tough. You know, the only game that they've really played or the only opponent that they, you know, the only two opponents they've played that are probably worth a darn are Arizona State and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt at best is like an NIT team. So I think it's still kind of hard to judge K-State, although you have to like what they've done so far. I mean, Arizona State's proved to be pretty legit so far, and they, you know, they almost beat them. And Xavier Sneed, I think, was one of the biggest keys coming into this season, and he's off to a nice start. So I think K-State's in a good spot, but it's still kind of hard early and hard to judge them.
And for people that want to do a little scouting, this is kind of a funky schedule for Arizona State. Arizona State plays on Friday night at 7 at Staples Center in the Basketball Hall of Fame Classic against St. John's. St. John's only has one loss. That one loss came to Mizzou. Then they got to turn right around and play 2 days later at Allen Fieldhouse on Sunday afternoon. And so if you want to check out Arizona State, that's Friday night, but two games in 3 days and traveling after playing in Staples Center all the way to Allen Fieldhouse, that certainly could have a factor too, don't you think?
Yeah, I was trying to arrange something with Bobby Hurley and talking to the Arizona State SID, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be tough because we're insane and scheduled this way. So but they've played a crazy schedule. I mean, they played a Xavier as well, and to have that kind of turnaround when you have to go to Allen Fieldhouse is pretty crazy. But it'll be a good chance because, yeah, St. John's, while they're not a great team, they've got some talent. So That'll be a good one to watch for Kansas fans, I guess, if you want a scouting report.
Hey, what happened to Florida?
I mean, in some ways, Florida's kind of like Kansas. I mean, they play small, they play a lot of guards, and they've got to hit shots. And they've just gone a couple straight games where they haven't hit shots, and teams have kind of taken them out of their rhythm. They're a big rhythm team, so I think it's a little, you know, they're going to be a team that can look really, really great on one night, and I thought they did those first five games. I mean, they were incredible. But once teams have been able to kind of take them away from the three-point line and or at least make them struggle from that area, I think they get real average real quick.
All right, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about a couple of games involving Big 12 schools coming up on Saturday. I know that Nate already asked you about Kansas State, but they play Tulsa, and that's going to be on Saturday night. And then earlier in the day, Wichita State at Oklahoma State. Your thoughts on whether or not Oklahoma State could give Wichita State a test, or can Tulsa push Kansas State at all?
Yeah, I don't see it with either team. I mean, Oklahoma State is off to a decent start, but they haven't really played anybody except for A&M, and they lost that game. So I expect Oklahoma State to be one of the worst teams in the Big 12. That's a game Wichita State should be able to handle, and I think the same for K-State. That's a game where, you know, they should just have better players. And Tulsa's not terrible, but they're also, you know, that's a team you should beat.
Based on what you've seen so far, as we're getting closer to conference play, give me your top four teams in order in the Big 12.
Oh man, I'll go Kansas. West Virginia still. I think once they get Issa Ahmad back, they're going to take another step. So it's hard to judge them, but based off what they've done so far. And then I'll go TCU, Texas Tech, with Texas looming right there. Maybe TCU and then Texas.
Do you think Oklahoma has a chance to be kind of a wild card?
Yeah, they do. It's going to be interesting to see when Trey Young starts playing real competition. I mean, he is just dribbling the ball over the place, and it's kind of you know, against inferior competition, I think it works. I'm interested to see what's going to happen when they start playing real teams.
All right, CJ, we appreciate your time. I'm going to put you on hold, and you can talk it out with Jake because he, once again, you disagree with him, and then
I've got some work to do.
All right, yeah. I mean, you're biting the hand that do you feed him, Jake? Jake says, "Well,
not by hand."
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out. CJ, we appreciate your time. I don't know about Jake, but thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, fellas.
That is CJ Moore. Jake's very vindictive, so I don't know.
I hold a grudge.
Do you?
A lot of resentment here.
You've been quiet today.
I have.
I mean, there's a lot. I feel like today was a day that you would shine or you would melt down. Your favorite player, your favorite player is that? No? Marcus Peters is your favorite player?
He is.
get suspended for
are
the
you angry?
Biggest
are you
game
mad
of the year.
Are you mad he got
and
suspended?
Then your favorite team gets
I think it's
beat.
Dumb. I think it's dumb to suspend him at this point. The time to send that message was earlier in the season yeah. or in the offseason.
Okay, so
it's not week 14 of the season where you're reeling and your team is on a skid like they've never been on before and you have to have this win. That's not the time to send a message.
Well, but Marcus Peters keeps doing things that irritate Andy Reid apparently. So you've got to, at some point you got to.
You know that when you draft him. Like Gary Barnett said, that's part of the deal.
Every coach thinks that when they get player and get him in the locker room, then they won't have those problems.
I just keep coming back to what he did didn't cost the team. It looked really bad. It could have cost the team, like you said, had they gone to overtime.
He got suspended. It's not because of the flag in the stands. Yeah. It's because he walked out of a game.
But yeah. the league didn't. This is a team
right.
suspension. Like, well, the team is suspending him.
To me, that's why he got suspended.
Right.
He walked out on whether he thought the end result was he walked out of the game.
But
left
that's
the game.
Just as much on the coaching staff as it is on him.
No,
he was walked off the field. Right there was
a security guard came to escort him once he already started walking.
But supposedly Steven Nelson was saying trying to get him to stay.
Look,
that's why, right? Because discussing, well, how come Travis Kelce didn't get suspended when he threw a penalty flag at the referee. It's not about throwing the flag. It's about walking out of the game, walking off the field, and going to the locker room while the game's still going on, the game's still in doubt. That's what got him suspended, don't you think?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, I have theories on what got him suspended. I think it's a whole accumulation of things.
That's the straw that broke the camel's back, basically. I mean, I still think that, we're all speculating. We don't know, and Andy Reid's not going to tell us. But I'm of the belief that this came from ownership. It's a bad look. It's a bad look because it's disrespecting the officials in the game by picking up that flag and throwing it into the stands. And Clark Hunt has probably had enough. This team has looked bad on the field and now outside of playing. Yeah. This is outside of the game.
I think they're angry about him walking out off the field.
And I'm sure that's part of it, too.
Walking out of the game.
I think that's a big part of it.
But look, I can understand how he would assume I'm gone. Because, look, what happened to Travis Kelce when he threw the flag? When he picked up an official's flag and threw it. What happened? He got ejected.
Did he get ejected? I can't remember.
Yeah, he got tossed.
Yeah, okay.
And the team still didn't suspend him.
That's a good point. I mean, I think that Peters was intending to get himself ejected. That's what I've said all along. I think he thought the game was over and he's going to get his rocks off and get himself thrown out of the game.
What?
I don't know. There's some thoughts I have on it that I'm almost don't want to say.
Well, no, we're going to get to those at 9:30 now that you set it up that way. I can promise you we'll get to those. So and then we'll leave it at this.
All right.
So I asked you what shocked you. What made you angrier, Marcus Peters getting suspended or Kansas losing? Because that's a tough day for
Marcus
you,
Peters.
Yesterday.
Marcus Peters. Kansas,
you were mad, though, about the Marcus Peters.
I was sitting with Lebo in the FM room when we were listening to the Andy Reid press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Blown away. I almost fell out off the desk.
I wish you would have. I mean, that would have been a funny story. Like, Jake literally fell to the ground.
Right, but most likely if that situation, it would have been Lebo pushing me off the desk.
Right.
Because he's a jerk,
right?
Mean person.
See, you were really.
I couldn't believe it. You got to be in crisis mode, and suspending him is making it's code red now. Is code orange now? It's code red, and you don't have your best players playing on the field for you now.
Look, desperate times call for desperate measures. This is a desperate measure. I mean, it'll be interesting. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out. If the team responds and rallies together,
I have no good feeling on what's going to happen. I mean, if I was
confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Just like last week, I said the bet for last week: go bet your money on the Jets money line.
Yesterday, I painted the scenario in my mind that it's going to fire the team up. They're going to come out with a terrific performance, and they're going to win the football game. And then I went home and thought about it, and I said, you know what? You're an idiot. Just thinking to myself.
But it could happen.
You're not an idiot.
It totally could happen.
It absolutely could.
I mean, I think the Chiefs are still a favorite.
You know, screw this. Tired of losing. Not that they haven't been tired of losing before, but now it's like it's on the verge of embarrassment.
Embarrassing themselves for the past few weeks.
But it's even more than just losing, though. The way they're losing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're finding every way to lose.
All the different things that have happened.
Every way possible.
This is where pride has to kick in.
The defense can't stop anybody, and then when their defense does stop somebody, the offense can't put a touchdown on the board. It's like every way possible, they're just crumbling.
Well, just mistakes everywhere.
Right.
Mental mistakes, physical mistakes.
The penalties.
Right.
The calories.
The calories.
All kinds of things that, well, I don't know.
Like flags.
Right. I never. Disco Stew, who corrects us at least once a day, reminds us that he threw the towel at him. At the referee, like he was throwing a flag.
Oh, he took his towel off and he threw something at him. He got ejected.
He threw a flag on the ref.
Yeah, he threw the towel at the ref.
He threw the towel at the ref like it was a flag. I mean, it was.
And he got flagged.
I know
for
it's
it.
Bad behavior. It makes me laugh when I see it happen at first, and then I'm like, now that he shouldn't have done that, you know.
But it's so childish. You're suspending him for that?
I think if it just would have been that, he wouldn't have been suspended.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how you come to that conclusion.
Field during the game and then coming back and not having socks. It looked ridiculous. Everything looked ridiculous.
And it's the optics of it, and I guess that's what I'm saying.
And you're listening
to
Sports Radio 810 WHB.
People
in
took
City.
Away from this. Look, this guy has no control of his football team. Yeah. All hell's breaking loose. Look at all these penalties. And then a player throws a flag into the stands. And then he leaves the field. They don't know what the hell's on. And then they lost another game. It from the outside, and even from the inside, looking like, it's lost control. Yep. And all hell's breaking loose now.
Yeah, it's the optics of it. That's what I'm saying is, from a practical standpoint, obviously, the penalties by Steven Nelson and particularly the penalty on the field goal were far more costly. But the optics of it, after you've seen all these other penalties and lack of discipline and all this stuff, then you see the guy do all that stuff. It just looks like it looks horrible, you know. And that's why I think it was Clark Hunt, because we know about Clark Hunt is he doesn't like the organization to look bad. That was one of the big things we heard about, most likely one of the reasons that Dorsey got let go, because there were a handful of things that happened that made the organization look bad. And Clark Hunt does not like that. He wants the organization to look good. You know, he wants it to be respected. He doesn't want to be a clown show.
We will take a break back after this on WHB.